Welcome to Torah Imecha Nachyomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Lynn Kraft, and today we will be learning Malachim Aleph Perek Vav. In Perek Vav, the seminal event of Shlomo's reign, Binyan Beit HaMikdash, the building of the Beit HaMikdash, commences. We're told that construction began in the second month, Chodesh Iyar, of the fourth year of Shlomo's reign, which was 480 years after Yetziat Mitzrayim. And we're told that the building concluded 7 years later, in the eighth month, Chodesh Cheshvan, in the 11th year of Shlomo's reign. In this parak, the construction of the actual building itself of the Beit HaMikdash is described. We're told that there were three main parts of the Beit HaMikdash building itself. The first part was the Ulam, which was the entrance hall, which was flanked by two Amudim, pillars, which are described in the next parak. Then, the second part of the Beit HaMikdash building was the Kodesh, otherwise known as the Heichal. And this is the room where the menorot, the shulchan, and the mizbeach hazahav were placed. The kelim are also described in the next parak. And finally, the holiest of holies, the kodesh hakodeshim, also known as the dvir. And this is where the aron kodesh and the kruvim were placed. And this was the room where only the kohen gadol could enter, and even he could only enter on Yom Kippur. After we're told about the building of the Beit HaMikdash itself, of these three rooms, so to speak, Shlomo then had his workers build an otsar, which were storage rooms surrounding the outer walls of the Beit HaMikdash. And in this otsar, Shlomo placed the Beit HaMikdash's treasury, where he kept the finances necessary for making improvements, repairs, etc. We'll also see that he placed some items from the Mishkan, from the Ohel Moed, which had lasted until this time, in the Otsar as well. In Pasuk Dalet, we're told that Shlomo constructed unique windows for the Beit HaMikdash, known as Chalonei Shkufim Atumim. Now, according to Pshat, these were windows that were Shkufim, which means transparent, because it comes from the root of Hashkafa, which is to see or to view, and atumim, which means sealed. And so this description of transparent sealed windows would have actually been a really big innovation for the time period, because at the time, windows were usually just merely open holes in walls to allow for air circulation. Shlomo, however, seems to have invested in a new technology, such as glass or some material of the sort, which would enable these windows to be both transparent and sealed, more like the windows we know of today. According to Chazal, however, shkufim means open and atumim means closed. And Chazal understood that these windows were more open on the outside and more closed, i.e. narrower, on the inside. The Radak explains that these windows were unique in that usually one would construct windows that were narrower on the outside and wider on the inside in order to maximize the light entering the building. Because when you have a wider window on the inside, it can take whatever light is coming in from the outside and maximize the amount of space that light hits on the inside of the building. However, he says in the Beit HaMikdash, the windows were just the opposite. Rechavim hayu mibachutz, the windows were wider on the outside, vitzarim mibifnim, and narrower on the inside. Hefech min haga olam, which was the opposite of what is usually done. Lomar she'ino tzarech leor haolam. And this, he says, was done to demonstrate that the Beit HaMikdash was not in need of light from the outside world, which might imply that, rather, the purpose of the Beit HaMikdash, instead of needing light from the outside world, the purpose of the Beit HaMikdash was to disseminate Hashem's light from within the Beit HaMikdash to the outside world. Perhaps that's why, according to Chazal, the windows were narrower on the inside and wider on the outside, so that Hashem's light could be disseminated to the outside world as much as possible. In Pasuk Zayin, we're told that no hammers, axes, or any other iron tools could be used for on-site construction in the Beit HaMikdash. And the question is, why not? The answer can be found in Shmot Perek Chaf, Pasuk Chaf Bet. When Hashem had commanded Bnei Yisrael in the Midbar, this took place right after Matan Torah, that a mizbeach, an altar, could not be built with hewn stones, lest one's sword come upon the stones. It appears that swords, which have a hand in death, have no place in the service of Hashem, who is the source of life. Furthermore, we know that anyone or anything that comes into contact with tumah, impurity, cannot ritually serve Hashem. And we also know that death is the ultimate source of tumah. So it makes sense that a sword which causes death, and therefore tumah, impurity, would not be welcome at a site in which we ritually serve Hashem. And it seems that Shlomo HaMelech extended this principle beyond just the Mizbeach to the entire Beit HaMikdash. After Shlomo finished building the outer shell of the Beit HaMikdash, we're told in Pesukim Yud Aleph through Yud Gimel that Hashem appeared to Shlomo and promised him that as long as he keeps the Torah and its mitzvot, Hashem would keep his promise to David HaMelech and dwell among Bnei Yisrael and not leave them. We're then told in Pesukim Yud Aleph through Chaf Bet and again in Pasuk Chaf Tet that Shlomo constructed the walls of the Beit HaMikdash with two different types of wood and then covered them in gold. And we're told that these walls, that the walls of the Beit HaMikdash were decorated with images of kruvim, cherubs, timorot, palm trees, and piturei tzitzim, open blossoms. In Pesukim Chaf Gimel through Chaf Chet, we're told about the kruvim that Shlomo built. And these must have been different kruvim than the ones designed for the Mishkan, as we're told that those were placed on top of the Aron. And therefore, they must have been relatively smaller in size in order to fit on top of the Aron itself. These new kruvim, however, were so large that we're told that when the kruvim were placed next to each other in the Kodesh HaKodashim, the wingspan of one kruv spread from one wall of the Kodesh HaKodashim to the edge of the other kruv's wing, and the wingspan of the second kruv spread from the wing of the first to the other wall of the Kodesh HaKodashim. To put the kruvim's size into perspective, the width of the Kodesh HaKodashim was 20 amot, and the wingspan of each kruv was 10 amot. Therefore, together, next to each other, they filled the entire width of the room. The height of the Kodesh HaKodashim was also 20 amot, and the height of each kruv was 10 amot. They reached up to half the height of the room, which means they were pretty tall. Afterward, in Psukim Lamed through Lamed Zayin, we're told that Shlomo covered even the floors of the Beit HaMikdash in gold, and that he built grand doors for both the entrance from the Ulam into the Kodesh and for the entrance from the Kodesh into the Kodesh HaKodeshim. We're told that both sets of doors were made of wood and covered in gold and were decorated with the same images of the Kruvim, Timorot and Pitutei Tzitzim, the cherubs, the palm trees, and the open blossoms that adorned the walls of the Beit HaMikdash. Rav Menachem Liebtag points out that there were many details of the actual building of the Beit HaMikdash, which is described in this perek, that reflect its permanence, as opposed to the temporary nature of the Mishkan. Instead of being made up of movable curtains and poles, like the Mishkan, the Beit HaMikdash was constructed with permanent walls, a roof, a floor, and even an entryway, the ulam. Even the new kruvim that Shlomo built, instead of their feet being placed upon the traveling aron as they were in the Mishkan, their feet were placed directly on the floor of the Beit HaMikdash itself, which also expresses a sense of permanence. If the kruvim symbolized the Shekhinah, Hashem's presence, then their feet being rooted to the floor expressed Shlomo's desire to show Bnei Yisrael that Hashem is now residing here in the Beit HaMikdash forever. As we'll see soon from Hashem's response to the building of the Beit HaMikdash in Perek Tet, and as we know from our history, this is a hope that can only come to fruition if Bnei Yisrael and their kings follow the Torah and its mitzvot. The Beit HaMikdash's permanence is not something to be taken for granted. It's something that must be worked towards in every generation. And this is a lesson that Hashem is going to need to teach Shlomo, that in order to fulfill his loftiest goal of the eternality of the Beit HaMikdash, Shlomo and his royal descendants will have to put in a great deal of effort to follow all of Hashem's teachings in the Torah so that they can deserve to have Hashem residing among them forever. Thank you for studying together the Eloi Nishma Malka Esther Bat Tzvi Yosef.